pray. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Look at verse 6. I don't really know what I'm preaching tonight. I don't really know what this is doing. I'm going to go through several verses. Probably not going to go. I have about 31 verses listed. Probably not going to go through all of them. I'm going to look at a subject that I'm going to call like the better things of life. The better things of life. I was meditating on this verse. My children are laughing. That's why I'm laughing, because I said I'm not really going to teach long tonight. But in verse 6, it says, better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. And I was reading through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I was just meditating on this verse. It caught my attention. I began to think about how in the Bible there are many contrast verses that say better than. I did a word search, and I looked at many, many verses of how God says this is better than this. This is better than that. And you'll find the word better several times in the Bible, of course, but not always in the same context. And I was thinking about this. Some of the difficulties that people have in the Christian life is basically just wrong choices. Because the choices we make against God, in our time, we think that this thing is better than what God has for us. And basically, I'm just going to read through some of the verses. And what we're going to do this, and I'm not really going to call on people, but what I'm going to do is, if we read a verse and something spoke to your heart, maybe you've had experience in your life that speaks to the truth of this verse, I'll probably have a few comments in the verse. You raise your hand, and then I'll allow you to share a testimony about how this verse has been true in your life by way of just encouraging one another in the faith. And so we'll just go through, like I said, as many as time allows. I'm trying to get out by 10:30. No, I'm just kidding. No, my goal is, this will be easy tonight for me to have you out by 8. Since it's getting a little colder, trying to get everybody home this time of year. But in Psalm, this first verse here, it says, better is a handful with quietness than both a handful with travail and vexation of spirit. We see a handful is not very much. You know, and the Bible says it's better to have not very much, just a little handful, and with quietness, with peace and rest, than have both hands full. I mean, as much as you can carry with travail and vexation of spirit. Because many have a lot, and they're vexed over it, you know. And you know, really, so many of us, really, a lot of us have a lot. We don't really think of it that way. But if you really think about it, I think about that widow woman in the book of Kings. She said she just had, when it came to the necessity of life, she said all she had left was a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. That's not very much, is it? You know, they worked out pretty good for an end, you know. And, I mean, we've had some pretty tight times, but I think we've always had a little bit, even when we thought we were doing bad, we had more than a handful, you know. Maybe it's some sweet peas or something in the counter, in the cabinet. Everybody had those canned goods back there that sit there. So I don't know why you, I mean, we're the only ones that do this, but I asked her, then why did you buy that, you know? That thing that's in the back of the cabinet and you just keep pushing away until time. My kids used to hate it when my wife would go out of town, because that was the time we cleaned out the kitchen, you know. Anything that was in there that had been sitting around for a while, Papa was going to cook it, you know. Whether it's in the freezer, whatever. And praise God, they were so gracious and ate most everything and spit it out while I wasn't looking. No. I'm just checking to see, because sometimes you can find truth out of us. They were very gracious. They never complained. We hear these things like 10 years later, you know. Oh, man, we just hate that. anyway, why do you have those things? Well, you get used to it because our security sometimes is the things we have around us. But it's better as a handful with quietness than both the handful with travail and vexation of spirit. Now, turn to Psalm 37. Like I said, we're going to go through several verses, and they're all going to be in chronological order, so you should be able to keep up very easily. And I can give you the list later if you'd like to look at the list. So, first thing in Psalm 37, we'll look at verse number 16. It says, first in verse 6, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. So it says, first, a little with righteousness is better than the riches of many wicked. That really kind of goes along with what we just said in the other verse, you know, because in our whole sense of culture about more, more, more. But God said, if you'll just be righteous, a little will do you just fine. It's better than having riches. Psalm 63. Notice it says in verse number 3, because, he's speaking of the Lord here, thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. The loving kindness of God is better than life. I mean, what is the application there? Well, to keep your life, let God have your life. Because God's loving kindness is better than life. And by the way, like, feel free to raise your hand anywhere along the line. And if I'm looking down, just raise high so I'll catch you if you have a testimony regarding that verse. Psalm 84. It says for verse number 10, Psalm 84 in verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So just be a day with God. A day in the courts in the presence of God is better than a thousand without God. Isn't it amazing? But our society tried to distance us from God. And we pray for people that currently are running from God. But if they could just really catch, imagine just know God personally in a day. Now see, this is the Bible truth here that's being presented. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalm 118. It's also a good way to keep you awake if you have a Bible. This should be awake in between the pages, you know. Psalm 118, what was it said in verse number 8? Psalm 118, verse number 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Very simple. Many people live their lives based on what other people are doing. They have found their hope and their strength in what others are doing instead of just simply trusting in the Lord. And in verse 9, it lets us know, not just any kind of man, because we may think, well, you think, well, of course, better than my neighbor. But no, it says here, verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So better, more than trusting the people of the highest levels of authority, it's better to trust in the Lord. Psalm 119. Verse 72. Psalm 119, verse 72. By the way, this is a good thing here because all these contrasts, you know, why would God have all these contrasts? Because we have choices to make, as I said to start with. That really messes up your hyper-Calvinist thinking, where is everything just foreordained and chosen for us? Why would God have all these, present to us all these things that this is better than this, and this is better than that, if we could not choose the direction that he wants for us, or he will choose against it even. Psalm 72 says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now here again, a Bible truth that pretty inconceivable to a world. So because most are pursuing gold, silver, or as we say today, cash, you know, instead of pursuing the law of the mouth of God. According to the Bible, though, it's better. And see, we're talking about the better things of life. And most people, if you look at their life how it is right now, they wouldn't mind having a better life. Well, here it is. And so many of these things in the Bible, and people's lives are not getting better because they're making choices contrary to what God says is actually better or best for them. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8. For wisdom, verse 11. Proverbs 8:11. It says, for wisdom is better than rubies.
Is that possible?
To have wisdom really be better than rubies? Wisdom is better than rubies. Rubies are pretty valuable. They're worth a lot. And well, and God breaks out even further. Okay, now stop for a second. Everybody think for a minute. If you could have something, what would you want right now? Don't share it. But if you could have anything you wanted right now, what would it be? Well, God said right here in this same verse, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So whatever you desire, if you could have one thing you wanted right now, one desire, if it's not wisdom, God says that nothing in his life can compare to it. That'd be like saying, if I was a multimillionaire, I said, you know, Leah, would you, can I, simple, you want $5 or $50,000? That's right, yeah. Easy choice, right? You think, especially if I sit on a table and somebody looking at me, man, of course I want $50,000. That's not even a choice. And so God says that when it comes to wisdom and all the things in this world can be desired, you can't even compare it to it. You take any degree of success, anything that this life has to offer other than wisdom, God says you just can't compare it to it. Now, God is love. God would like everybody to have a better life. So he said, how to have a better life? By the way, I have some cough drops in my coat if you need one. I thought I might need one myself a few minutes ago. So God wants to have a better life. Well, he wouldn't have told us all these better things. So better, look at that. That's what, you ought to memorize that verse. Because think of, because so much, you know, this is exactly what, if it isn't going on right now, it's going to happen. You're going to, situation, something's going to happen. And you're going to think, man, I would love to have this. I love it. And you're going to set your hearts and your sights and pursue that thing or pursue something. You can pursue some desire. Might not be classified as a sin in the Bible. And God says it compared to wisdom. In fact, he said you can't even compare it to wisdom. Because wisdom so far outdistances anything that we can desire. He says not even be compared to it. It's better to have wisdom. And wisdom is the application of knowledge. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. good memory verse there. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Verse 16. Again, a little is better. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. So better just have a little, you know. I like... There's something I wish I wish I had a newer vehicle, a nicer vehicle. But you know the great thing about having my vehicle? I can go somewhere and I can leave the keys in it. And it's going to be there when I get back. Because nobody wants it. You know. And I can rest. I can rest. Other night, I wouldn't think about it. I left my keys in the car all night in the ignition in the parking garage. You know, well, still there. You know. Nobody touched a thing, you know. And not a good practice, by the way, but it's better because I'm not worried about somebody taking off with the thing, you know. And praise God if you have something. There's nothing wrong with having something nice, but it's better with little the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Because sometimes great treasure brings great trouble, you know. But if you have something brand new and just remember this just like it's old, and hey, God gave it. And if you keep the mindset like Job did, then it's not going to be trouble for you anyway. So God's not against us having nice things. So better is little with fear of the Lord. So most important thing, have the fear of the Lord. If you have a little, man, that's better than a lot of people have great treasure, you know? You know, because, you know, you can be tempted to be in the presence of other people and all of a sudden get covetous and get frustrated. Verse 7, it says, 17, it says, better is a den of herbs where love is. And a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Now, this is a good one here, you know. I mean, just herbs. You know, like today, somebody gave me a special gift this weekend and said I'd just spend it just on me. So I had some oxtails for dinner, you know. I hadn't bought them out in a long time, you know. so better, life is better is some herbs. You know, that means like some parsley,
cilantro. I mean, but just a bit herbs.
So for dinner, I mean, you got a plate and you got some parsley on there. You know, I was, you know, when I remember I first went to a restaurant, they had parsley there. I just ate it. I didn't realize it was there just to look good. You know, hey, it's green. My mama told me I always eat greens, so I ate the greens. And it is good for your digestion, by the way. So it's a good thing to eat parsley. But it's better if that was your dinner. If your dinner was not the meat, but just the herbs, better than a dinner herb where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You know, there are places, you know, I remember when my first trip to Mexico, when we went to organize a church down there, I mean, we eating the houses of people very poor sometimes, you know, and many just, and you just saw the joy of the Lord there. I mean, very meager meals put out, you know, and then you think about, I think about some of the multi-million-dollar homes where, I mean, they just have the abundance of wealth and all the different foods there, and there's such chaos at the dinner table. I mean, just hatred and bitterness. And this verse is true, just better with little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble to wear. There again, the most important thing is the fear of the Lord with the meal. You know, there in God not saying, don't have the treasure, but some would have their herbs. And when, what kind of life is this? To fear God, and this is all I have is herbs. But God said it's a lot better than you may realize. A lot better than a lot of people have. So better. So better than having oxtails. So he said stalled ox, you know. Hatred therewith. It's better just have herbs in the house full of love, you know. That's why I say don't marry for money. Marry, first of all, out of fear of God. God, whoever God directs, and then maybe poor as dirt, but if there's love there, you'll have a happy life. Amen. That's when life's so happy. Anyway, where are we at next? Okay, now Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Let's see, we're just going to do verses here. Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better is a little. God says there's a lot about a little. You know why? God knew that we'd be in a life that said we need a lot. Life always said we need a lot. Never said more. How much you got? Well, not enough. We always want more. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. So it's better to have just a little and be right with it than have all that flown in and not be right. So you can take look at, we've mentioned several times of professional athletes. I mean, have all this great abundance of wealth and just total miserable lives. Hey, next time we go through Walmart, look at all these famous actors there that they got on display. Divorce, marriage, cheating here, cheating there, adultery here. I mean, all these famous people got all these great revenues and no right. And just, and their lives are center of gossip and center of everything. Everybody claims to love them, but everybody loves the gospel about them too. You know, the people I love, I'm not looking to pick their faults out and say, "Well, they did this and do that." You know, Bob said, "He that covereth the matter seeketh love." So if the world loves all these actors, they wouldn't be looking to expose everything they did. You know? That's a good proof right there of how shallow love is. But it's better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Why? Because God tell what? Because our nature is, man, we want great revenues. Verse, where are we at? Proverbs 16, same chapter. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. I threw a paper out this morning. Every time I do the paper out, I try to study my Bible a lot, but and then I do get up early sometimes. It always reminds me, okay, I got up 2 o'clock. Well, this morning I got up at 1 o'clock. Well, because I did get up and read my Bible. I wanted to read for a newspaper. But I got up at 1 o'clock this morning and worked till 7 because the papers were late. Well, I didn't really work till 7. I was up till 7 and I thought, you know what? I did that for silver. I said, I didn't even remember to make sure I do that when it comes for just for wisdom. And I do, my family, I get up early and do that sometimes anyway, but But it always reminds me of how much more important it is that I need to make sure I get up and do that for God. Because every time I do that, well, I think, man, you know what? I'm willing to do this, put these extra hours in for money. And then it was like, and sometimes, Lord, I'd bring back a night where I wanted to read my Bible, and I went to bed early and slept instead of just staying up, you know. And yeah, I got up this time to do that, you know. And so I did take a nap this afternoon, about an hour. So, but yeah, but I feel good. That's why I was praising the Lord for strength, you know. And having got up at 1 o'clock this morning, I only have an hour and a half sleep since then. But anyway, the better it is to get wisdom than gold. What do you do for gold? What do you do for money? God says it's better to get wisdom. That's why I pray for your children that they'll seek wisdom and not gold and silver. Because that's better for them. If you want them to have a better life, then teach them to get wisdom. Better for our church. That's why I'm always down about pursuing the world. I'm trying to challenge you to get wisdom because it'd be better for you. Really, that's pretty clear, pretty plain talk, as we say back home. Better. And notice what he said, verse 16, and look at it again. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. Now, who just said that voice today against that? Who would speak against that? Somebody else, who would speak against that truth there? Who would speak against that? Right, Satan. So just so you know who said something in your mind contrary to that truth there. The question is, if your life isn't that great right now, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Should be seeking wisdom. And to get understanding rather than be chosen than silver. So how much better it is to get understanding than to be chosen rather than silver. Now, going further, let's see, that's verse 17, Proverbs 16. I got what's written down. I should be checking them off as I go. Wait a minute. Okay, now verse 19. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So it's better to be humble with a bunch of nobodies than to have the spoil with the proud. Don't seek the popular crowd. Just be humble and be with the lowly. Go bless somebody that nobody wants to be around. Rather than have the spoil of the proud, all the wealth and the riches that the proud may have. And it's given the truth that proud people can't make accomplishments. But God says it's better to be humble and be with the lowly. Verse 32, same chapter. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. So better than having great strength is better to have great control. Always think, since I play a lot of sports through the years, I've always seen so many times the team with the best athletes and the people with the best skills often it's not the team that wins. It's the team that has the most control. It says you're better. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Because the things of life always tend to try to get us to get upset, you know, and get us frustrated. But you know what? And you know, I got wrote this way. This is pretty good, because when we're angry, we're trying to show our might. We're trying to show our power. Because that's what anger is about. I'll tell you something. When we scream at somebody, we're trying to take control of the situation. We're trying to have our might. Our frustration, because I matter. I matter. I'm upset because I matter. Don't you understand who you're dealing with? You know, ever said that before? How did you say it back in the day? You know who you're talking to? The fact that I said that, I've said it in anger sometimes when I wasn't right with God to my own children. But it's better to be slow to anger than to be mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. It's better just to have control over your spirit than be the person that takes the whole city, because why? It's not going to last.
It's all going to crumble eventually. Proverbs 17. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. You know, here again. You know, God directs a lot toward food and eating. You ever notice that? You know, it's so better is a tasteless, dry morsel. You know, so that means something that don't, I mean, just dry, chalky, or just not flavor. And quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. My wife and I remember when we lived in North Carolina, we always look back and we always say, if we could have back the first 5 years of our marriage, the food, money we spent on eating out, we probably could have bought a house or something. Who knows? Just wasted money. Just because culture come in, because we wasn't satisfied with the dry morsel. You know, we made sacrifices by the type of food we wanted to have. They said, so better the dry morsel and quietness. What's the quietness? Well, the phones are ringing, people looking for money. Because you paid your bills. Then a household sacrifice with strife. Sometimes we think, man, I'm sacrificing for my children. I'm sacrificing for my family. But sometimes it's not for anything that of substance, you know. We can have a dry morsel and be thankful and be okay, you know. And not instead of having a household sacrifice, and you can't even enjoy time at home. Because you're so worried about what's going to take place next, you know. Even when you're off, you're like, eh. I remember when I was working, when I was trying to be super me, working for a health club. I started working, sold health club memberships. I thought this was going to be the greatest job of my life. I love to work out. I thought people just walking off the street and love to want to be healthy, and I would just get them to, hey, just sign right here. It'd be wonderful, you know. But man, I didn't realize it was high pressure. Man, it's like you had to sell so much. And so I'm going to work 6 o'clock in the morning, working 10 o'clock at night. And even when I was home, even when I finally had a day off, I didn't enjoy it because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I was working on commission. I need to make a deal. I mean, I'm thinking, well, what if that person I talked to, and then they wanted, man, they wanted the premium membership. They may come in tomorrow. Went on my day off, you know. I mean, sometimes I'd be off. I call the secretary. I tell the secretary, now such and such, because I didn't live very far from where I worked. If such and such comes in and called me, I'll come down there right quick. Because, I mean, it was all about a house full of sacrifices. And we weren't living high on the hog. Well, in fact, we were living on the hoof. but still, just to try to do, I mean, but it was created by a house full of sacrifices. We were placed in that situation because of some poor decisions. I think I told this to my wife, finally comes to me and said, why don't you just marry Ron and John? That was the managing assistant manager. Because you know? I spent so much time with them, and I was married to her. You know, I was supposed to be with her and not them. But we had a house of sacrifices. We had strife. Why? Because of not being set with a dry morsel. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Yeah, we may be good. We'll probably stop about halfway. That'd be good. Better is the poor. Oh, no, not poor, man. Nobody wants to be poor. In the South, we say poor. We don't even put the O-R. See, in the South, you can't. When you're poor, you can't afford the last few letters. You poor. Not poor, I'm poor. So better is the poor or the poor that walk in his integrity. But he is perverse in his lips. That means someone's lying out of the side of their mouth. And is a fool. So it's better to be poor than have integrity. So it's better to make godly, right choices that might not bring you financial gain than have been to be perverse in a lie and to try to accumulate wealth. Lying to yourself, compromising yourself just for money. Verse 22, same chapter. I think. Oh, yeah. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. So it's better to be poor than to be a liar. That's what God says. It's just better. It's just better. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house.
I don't know what God's really trying to say here, except maybe a caution about just... Because, you know, our culture, and even a lot of religious people think that you just got to have somebody, you know. People make you feel like you're nobody if you're not even married, you know. Then the only thing I can say that's what he's speaking to, that it would be better to just live in the corner by yourself than just to pick the wrong mate than with a broader woman in a white house. God repeats that again in Proverbs 25, verse 24, the exact same statement. It says, better just to dwell in the corner than just to have a brawling woman or just anybody. I think you can make the application, just have anybody, you know. Because some of you say, man, if I just have such and such, my life would be complete. I always remember what Brother Bell said. He was preaching about Mary and Joseph. He said, Joseph was a just man. He was a just a man. And many people want just a man because they get fearful and they think, well, I'm not going to find anybody, so I'll take just a man instead of taking a just man. And then and men do the same thing. And so I'll take just a woman. The first person looks my way and thinks I'm somebody, I'm going to take that one. And then they get the brawling woman, or they're the brawling man themselves, could be. Now, verse 19, same chapter. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with contentious and an angry woman. So it's better, again. So I guess we might say that any relationship is not better than no relationship. I think that'd be a safe application here. That's what he's trying to bring across here. All right. Anybody got a better life? Nobody say anything yet. Nobody's any better. All right. Proverbs 25, verse 6. We'll read 6 and 7 together. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thy eyes have seen. Many people desire to be in front of great people. And God said it's better not to put yourself there unless someone puts you up there. Because if you put yourself up there, someone may put you down. So it's better just to be a content laborer and let God put you where He wants to put you. So don't put yourself in the presence of the king or desire or stand in the place of great men. So it's better if someone say, hey, it's better for someone to say, hey, you belong there. That's what the Bible says, let another man praise thee, not thine own lips. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Well, who's it better for? What's better for you? It's better for someone to openly rebuke you to help you to be better than the secret. Man, I sure love that prayer. I'm sure it's terrible what they're doing with their life. Well, did you tell them about it? No, I didn't tell them, but it's sure terrible what they're doing, you know. That's terrible that they're going to hell. Well, have you talked about Christ? Did you tell them that their way? Did you rebuke them with the gospel? See, the gospel, do you realize the gospel is a rebuke? It's a rebuke that people we know are traveling their own way, and they need to turn from their own way to the way. So open rebuke is better than secret love. So, man, I shouldn't want them to go to hell. But what are you doing about it? Open rebuke is better than secret love. If you're saved, aren't you glad somebody openly rebukes you and said, your way is not the way? You finally had to, didn't somebody have to kind of point you out and say, hey, look, your way is not it. Thank God. Thank God that people talk to me. Glad they did. Open rebuke is better than secret love. So that's good for us to open rebuke, and it's good for someone to open rebuke us as well. Well, but I just don't want to offend them. Well, God said it's better to open and rebuke them than have secret love. Notice the next of all, 28, Proverbs 28, verse 6. Better, here's the poor again, God is constantly dealing with food and poverty, riches, things that we pursue the most. Better
is the poor that walketh in his uprightness, than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. That's just a restatement of something else he said, but God valued it enough to where he said, now I better say this again. It's better. Ecclesiastes. Finally made it. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. verse 9. We read verse 6 to start with. Better is a handful of quietness therewith than both a handful of, with travail and vexation of spirit. Verse 9 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. That means we don't have to be loners, but we should have. But Amos says, how could you walk together except to be agreed? So it's better if more than one can walk together. I like coming to church and not just preaching to the walls all by myself. It's better. I like having a prayer, having a prayer meeting with not just myself. It's better that way. Two are better than one. Verse 13. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. You know, this is a good Dallas statement here. I mean, if you have a poor child that has some wisdom about them, man, they're a joy to be around. But man, you can have a wealthy child, and you think, man, you feel bad for the parents because what you see in the child. But God said, better to be a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. The people that, man, if I was a king, I could have all these the wealth, the riches. Those who said who would no more be admonished. That means no more be accept correction or be challenged, just won't listen to anything. You see, a poor and wise child, if he grows and walks in that wisdom, he will listen. Because part of wisdom is learning to listen and accept correction. But a foolish king, he's the king. He's not going to listen to anybody. But it's better to be poor than to be wise. So again, teach your children to have wisdom. Verse 5. Better that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. I call this one better to ask for money than to borrow money. It's better to ask for money than to borrow money. Because it's better that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Some people call the church often. And they actually ask for money, you know. And they always say, oh, but Pastor, I'm for sure going to pay it back, you know. And I just always say, and I always say, you know what? I said, when I do give, I think y'all heard me say that before, I don't loan anybody money. I always, if we have it, I give money. I let the person know. I said, this is not a loan. This is a gift. I said, if you so prosper, and you have the ability and you want to give back, then you give it back. But it's not a loan. Because if you can't afford to pay, then you won't be afraid to look me in the eye, and you won't be afraid, and you won't stop coming to church because you're like, I feel guilty I borrowed that money, you know. So that helps me too, because that way I don't give anything I can afford not to get back. And I only give out of obedience to the Lord anyway, so don't borrow. So don't vow. If you borrow, we're saying, well, I'm going to pay this back such and such a time. Well, guess what? You could lose your job tomorrow. You could step off the curb, break your leg, and not be able to go to work. A lot of things could happen, you know. So it's better to just, if you got to have something. And see, this will help you too. You find out what you really need, you know. Because sometimes we borrow for something we don't really need. But there, that thou shouldest not vow, then thou shouldest vow and not pay. And that'll help you too if you got people who want to borrow money from you. Just think about, can I afford to give them this? If you can't afford to give it to them, then you probably shouldn't loan it to them, you know, because it's better that way. 7, chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. So better than to have a healing balm, a healing ointment that can help take care of you. It's better to have a good name. So I think it means be better to have poor health. A good name and we'll have great health. Good name is better than precious ointment. Verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. And I was thinking about this, and what would this mean? I'll be better going to the house of mourning. You know, because when you go to the house of mourning, you're generally trying to discern, you look and find some hope in the morning. In difficult situations, you're trying to find God's direction, God's will. But see, if you go to the house of feasting, what generally happens, your flesh is pleased, and you enjoy your flesh. It says that's the end of all men. Or you become covetous because you look at all the things in this house and all the things that's here, the feasting. Man, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. And you can leave a house of feasting grieved, but you can leave a house of mourning and, man, my life wasn't bad as I thought it was. So it's better to go to the house of mourning because if you go to the house of mourning, you're going, many times, to give. But if you go to the house of feasting, you're going to get. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Because if I go into the house of mourning, I'm going to try to help somebody. And so that's better for me to give than it is to go to the house of feasting, and where I'm just going to receive and then just make my flesh stronger. And man, I sure like to have that. Now, where are we at? Verse 3, going further. Sorrow is better than laughter. Same kind of same application. When you're sorrowful, you're looking for answers. And if you're a Christian, where do you generally look for answers from? You look from God. But if you're laughing, everything's fine. You're not seeking God. Because so often we're just laughing, we're not praising God for the laughter. It didn't cause us to reflect on anything. But sorrow causes us to really think about things, you know. You know, why is this happening this way? And if it's sorrow regarding somebody else, what can I do to be a blessing? How can I help them? But if it's just all laughter, we don't really think about. See, that's why a lot of nice people go to hell. Because we have nice people that we laugh and carry on with, and we never dawn upon the fact that, man, they're in trouble. But see, what happens if we see that sorrowful person, their life is a wreck, and it looks like everything's going in chaos, and we think about them, and they need Christ. But when you know nice people that laugh and carry on, you don't really think about, man, they're dying and going to hell. And so sorrow is better than laughter, and it comes to concern other people. Now, verse 5. Oh, there you go. We're going to be done here. Verse 5, it says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. So you better have a wise man tell you the way it is than for a man to hear the song of fools. Well, what does the fool sing about vanity? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. So better have be wise and have strength. And we pray strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words not heard. But you know the great thing, it doesn't matter if the poor man's words are not heard. They're still working for him. So work for him. So wisdom is better than strength. It's better to have wisdom. Again, point of that again. The last verse. Verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. The one sinner destroyeth much good. I think of all the bloodshed and all the different countries, all the billions of dollars spent on weapons. And what if a nation just say, you know, we're going to devote all the billions of dollars that we spent. Do you need help, Micah? Do you have a question? Some question in the box. So, wisdom is better. Or what I was saying was, think of all the country that devote billions and billions of dollars to high-tech weaponry. What if they said, we're going to spend all this money and resources, we're going to seek for godly wisdom. You know what happened? They'd have a better country. Because we already saw from the Bible that wisdom is better than gold. It's better than rubies. But you know, some would never have a better life because they'll never take that verse and, you know, I'm going to live my life like that. I'm going to make sure in my life
I'm going to seek wisdom more than gold, rubies, or, I think he said, or anything else I desire. And then I'm going to see things will be better. All I can say, works for me. I can look at all the different things. Hey, when I give my life to looking for the things that God said better, it always works every single time. I could review it all again, but that'd take another hour. But here's the better thing to life. I've got the list if you missed something. But I encourage you. This is I don't really call it much of a message, but it was powerful because it's Word of God, Word of God, Word of God, Word of God. And this is what this is the kind you really ought to go take home and meditate on, because this is where your life will get changed. Because if you look at that list and you examine your life, many of us could find something in here. We find out where our life isn't. We think, okay, this is a new year. And last year we thought our life would be better than it was the year before, and it's not. Better fruitfully, that is. The love, joy, meekness, goodness, temperance, faith. Faith, the things that God values. You probably could look at this list and say, you know what? Am I committed to anything on here that God says is better? Think about that. Meditate. Am I committed to living a better life? So we thank for the Bible tonight. We thank you for being a wonderful God. I thank for the hearers that you brought out to hear your word tonight. And Lord, it's so exciting to me to see that the love that you have for those that are here tonight, because you want them to have a better life. And I ask you, Father, that you give them the